What are we doing?
Pete Farkas, Suniak Chant, whatever you want to say. You're listening to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast.
Yeah. Wait, say it again. My bad.
Your name, whatever you want to say, Suniak Chant. You're listening to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast.
I bet.
Whenever you're ready, you say, hey, it's your world. I just live in it.
Yeah, I already know. Peter Farkas, Rockport men's basketball. You listen to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast.
Hey, Suniak Chant, one take, one take.
The Mike Kaplan 100 podcast has been brought to you by RefereeRant.com. This is our craft. This is our skill. This is our voice. We have something to say. Referee Rant was conceived by a lowly official, me, looking to make side money on the weekend. Not that he didn't take it serious. He never thought of it as a skill, a craft, right there for the taking to master. Flag football turned into softball, softball to lacrosse, then basketball. Football, soccer, baseball soon followed. We're on the field. We're on the court. You may ref better than us, but you can't write like us. You might write better than us, but you can't ref like us. Marrying art and officiating. Find us at RefereeRant.com. Fight!
Welcome to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast. I'm your host, Mike Kaplan, owner of East Fitness, Huntington High School girls varsity basketball coach, and pro performance specialist. I started this podcast to interview my athletes so they can share their stories and journeys about their respective sports they participate in and the journey in which they got to where they are. I've had the pleasure of training many wonderful athletes, and we are simply providing a platform for them to share their perspectives and stories. This is the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast. Today, I am super excited. We have a unbelievable guest, Peter Farkas, SUNY Brockport, Suniak champion. He's got the ring in the house. What's going on, Pete?
What's up? Thanks for having me.
No problem. That ring's pretty cool, man. I like that. I need to get one of those. For those of you guys listening, I played at Brockport just a few years ago, not too long ago. Pete's there now, and they just won the Suniak championship last season. What was that experience like?
Man, it was probably one of the best experiences of my life. Like, so this is my fifth year there, and my freshman year, lost in the semis, first team left out of the NCAA tournament, and then sophomore year, lost in the semis again to the same team, Oneonta, and then we made the NCAA tournament, like, out of nowhere, and then junior year, we upset nationally ranked Plattsburgh in the semifinals, and lost in the championship by 5 without our 2 best players. So then this year, it was just a culmination of all that, all 3 years, like, put together with all these older dudes that have been through those type of, like, game situations, and we ended up winning the championship game by 29, 30.
Wow.
At home in front of 2,000 people. So it was, like, one of the greatest feelings ever.
Yeah, so, I mean, you basically had to go through, you know, some hard times, you know, struggles early on. You know, I think that's what makes teams better, makes players better. Being patient and growing from those experience, but I'm super happy that you guys got it done. Coach Dunn, who was the assistant coach when I was there, got the championship as well. So it's cool to see, you know, him grow as a coach and as a player, growing each year, just getting better and better, playing against, you know, the Suniak Conference, which, you know, one of the top programs in Division III. Why did you end up going to Brockport?
You got a ring yourself, yeah, didn't you? Or a championship?
That was a long time ago.
It's not that long ago. To be honest with you, I didn't really want to go there, like, out of high school.
Yeah.
I was thinking about going, like, community college and then, like, a bigger 4-year, but financial reasons is, like, what put me there. And then, honestly, like, looking back on it, I wouldn't change, like, the situation I was in and how I handled it and the decision that I made, because it turned out being, like, the best 4 or 5 years of my life. Like, meeting, like, a bunch of different people and just, like, that are honestly – like, some of the best friends I have in my life. Like, my teammates, I talk to them every day. Like, no matter if they're from 4 years ago or I'm still there now. Like, they're some of my best friends, and I don't think that's going to change for, like, the rest of my life.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hear you. I loved going to school there. I was choosing between Cortland and Brockport.
Yeah, you made the right decision.
Coach Dunn's a great salesman. He got me. And he's originally from Long Island as well. And, you know, we had an unbelievable team. We made it to the Elite Eight and Sweet 16 when I played. But I remember that first open gym when I went up there as a freshman. I came in. I'm a freshman from Long Island. I thought I was so good. And Ricky Hollis, who I believe at the time led the country in steals. And
school's all-time leader.
Yeah. He picked me up full court in just an open run. And literally just getting to half court, I was gassed. And I was like, oh, my God, this is college basketball? Yeah. And it was a rude awakening. What was that experience like for you transitioning from, you know, high school to college? Just, I mean, you're basically playing against grown men your first year. So, one, you know, that first experience when you first got there and now, you know, kind of being the veteran, helping the younger guys. What was that transition like for you?
People don't really understand, like, when you come from high school to college, like, the transition is, it's so different. Like, the game is just so different, the speed. And you're, like you said, you're playing against grown men, so you got dudes that are 23, maybe sometimes 24, 25 years old, especially the Division III level. Like, there's no time clock on your age.
Right.
So you got dudes that are literally grown men playing against 17, 18-year-olds. The speed of the game is so different. Just, like, high school is, like a lot slower. Like, 90, like college, especially, like, with us, like, we press.
Yeah.
Trap, like, rarely play zone. So we're moving, like, for all 40 minutes. And you got to be in, like, the best shape of your life to be even to, like, be able to get on the court.
Exactly.
And it's just, it's so different. Like, it's, no matter what level you're at, like, Division I, II, or III, like, the game is just completely faster, and you got to be so strong, like, mentally and physically, just to be able to, like, compete.
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember that, like, it was yesterday, how much faster the game was. Now being, you know, your fifth year, you know, what advice would you give to an incoming freshman, you know, going through the whole process?
I think just being patient. Like, I know this year we had 2-3 guys like redshirt, but it's not like they weren't ready, like they could have played right away. But I think just trusting your process and like being able to just understand that, like, when you look back on it, it'll be like for the better, like if you just trust it. And like the coaches know what they're talking about, and like the older guys know what they're talking about. Like, I know this year we had 2 fifth-year seniors, and both of them, or one of them, was all conference. The other one was probably the sixth man of the year in the conference, if that was like an award.
Uh-huh.
And they both had ankle surgery, or one of them had ankle surgery last year, came back with second team all conference and MVP of the conference tournament. And then the other one came off the bench the whole year after having knee surgery the year before and averaged like 11-7 coming off the bench and playing like 15, 20 minutes, like not even a lot, and basically won us our Sweet 16 game off the bench. So, I mean, if you just trust the process and, like, be a dog, like, from the second you walk on campus, like, you're going to earn your respect a lot faster, and you'll be able to see the court.
Yeah, and I mean, that's great advice. I think, you know, nowadays, you know, it's one of the biggest things with athletes is they just want to, you know, play right away and go right in right away, and there's just, you know, so much to learn, such a process, whether it's the X's and O's, the strength and speed. You know, it just takes time to really, you know, learn everything and be ready to go. So, you know, being patient is definitely, you know, one of the most important things.
Yeah, that too, like with the film, like film also, like a lot of people, that's a part of the, like, the game that they, like, neglect is watching the film, because it's so helpful. Like, when you look back on it, it's a big tool, like, to be able to have, is to be able to, like, go back and watch film and see what you did and be able to correct your mistakes and learn the plays, especially, like, learning the plays. Like, if you know the plays, especially as a freshman, you'll definitely be able to give yourself a leg up.
No, 100%. I mean, me and you go way back. We started together in Northport when I was training over there. Do you remember that first workout we had together? What grade were you in? I'm trying to think.
I think I was in college. I think I was maybe a freshman. Yeah, that was one of the worst days of my life. I remember, I think it was just me and you in Power One, and as soon as we left, I sat in my car for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I remember that.
I thought I was going to pass out. Like, oh, my God. And then I had to go to summer class the next day. I was like, there's no way I'm going. I got home. I laid on my couch for like 30 minutes, and I was like, oh, my God, what did I just do?
Yeah, you had to go in your car. You had to tough it out, act like you were fine. Then you just sat there for a while because you couldn't drive home.
It wasn't even that, like, looking back on it, like, it was super light.
Yeah.
I had never experienced anything like that. And just because it was so, like, completely different than
right.
All the other workouts, like, we're doing at school, and, like, because everything's just, like, strength. And
yep.
this was a lot of like
more conditioning.
Conditioning, yeah. I was sitting in my car. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny hearing people's stories the first time they come here, how different it really is, or if they're just not expecting what's about to happen. But, you know, now being here inside of Sousa, the Hot Pot location at East Fitness, what would you say is your least favorite thing that we do? Sleds?
Yeah, it's got to be the sleds.
I see you looking at them.
yeah, sleds are interesting, to say the least.
What do you like? Dunk Factory?
I'm not a big jumper.
No windmills coming from you?
No, not anytime soon. So I'll probably say like just regular like strength stuff. Maybe tires if we had to pick a specific.
Bench press.
Yeah. I'm like more the like bodybuilding than the conditioning.
Exactly. 3-point line. If you need a shooter, Pete's your guy.
Yeah. You know where to find me.
Exactly. Now, what would you say, you know, in your whole career there at Brockport, what was the coolest venue that you got to go to, or whether it was in the NCAA tournament or just another school, maybe where the crowd was packed, or what was the coolest place you went to?
I'd say my sophomore year when we made the NCAA tournament, that was like one of the crazy experiences ever. Like, that was the first time like I ever made, like, high school we were good, like we were really good in high school, and then coming here, I didn't really know, like, what to expect, like, how good we were going to be or whatever, because this was the first time I ever, like, had experience with college basketball. So, sophomore year, we were, like, 19-7, which is, like, around the border of, like, making the NCAA tournament,
right.
Like, 20 wins. And me and my assistant coach, Joe Clark, we were sitting in his office on selection Monday is what it is in Division III. So, in between class, we went in his office, watched the selection show, and we didn't have a party because, like, we got upset, like,
yep.
And we had to win that game to be able to, like, lock ourselves in, so we didn't think we were going to make it, and we were sitting in his office, like, just
not whatever. Expecting to
yeah,
get
not
in.
Expecting. Yeah, and so the first team off the board was Bridgewater State, and it sounds like Brockport.
Right.
It has the burr in the beginning, so we go down the side of the bracket, we get to the last team on the first side of the bracket, they say MIT, which is, like, I think they were, like, 17th in the country at the time from the NUMAC, like, one of the best conferences in the country, like,
right.
Whatever. And then they say Brockport, and that was, like, the craziest experience ever. Like, I started screaming and, like, yo, oh, my God, like, we just made the tournament. Like, what is going on? Me and Joe were, like hugging each other, like, what just happened? Like, we had no shot. Like, nobody was talking about us. Like,
right.
Any of the mock brackets, no one had us. And we had teachers and stuff, like, come over, like, yo, are you guys okay? Like, yeah, like, we just made the tournament. Like, what is going on? Like, holy cow. And then so we ended up going into Baltimore to the host site. To get back to your question, that was a little off topic. But to get back to your question, we ended up playing MIT at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. And that was just one of the most, like, beautiful campuses I've ever seen. Like,
yeah.
It's so, like, upscale. Like, just, like, the medical facilities, the athletic facilities. Like, we went in there. We were just, like, our jaws dropped. I remember walking in as a team. We were like, oh, my gosh. Like, how much money is it to go here? Like, you walk in and you walk in through these two glass doors and you look to the right and there's, a student lounge built of, like, mahogany and, like, all this other fancy stuff. And you look in and there's, like, Xboxes in there sitting just, like, for the athletes. And then there's, like, all these glass cases of, like, memorabilia and, like, 1,000-point scorers and all this other history. And then you walk in through these glass doors and it's just this beautiful, like, I mean, it's kind of small, but it's, like, this beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, just, they had a, what's it called, score, like, a big, why am I, like, not?
Jumbotron?
Jumbotron, yeah. They had a Jumbotron on the wall, and we ended up getting pounded, but it was still, like, a good, awesome facility to play.
There you go. You learned from that loss, but that was a cool experience to play, you know, in that stadium, at that school.
Cortland, too. We had a game at Cortland this year. We were first in the conference. They were, like, third or whatever, and had to be, like, 2,500 people there, just, like, standing room only.
Right.
We were nationally ranked. Like, I think that was, like, the first weekend we were nationally ranked this year. And we won that game. We were regular season champs, so we got the host, like,
yeah.
The postseason tournament. We were down the whole game, came back, sent it to overtime on a buzzer beater three. We shot a fadeaway three. One of our point guards gets the rebound. Like, nobody from Cortland box out. I was like, what are you doing?
Little things are big things.
Tossed it back out. Hit the three at the buzzer. We go into overtime. We win by, like, 8. Pounded them in overtime. And then you go to the locker room celebrating, just the best feeling ever because, like, nobody likes Cortland.
Yeah, that was our rival when we played. And, you know, playing at the Division III level at the, you know, the SUNYAC Conference, those gyms, you know, when they pack out, it gets loud.
Yeah, it was impossible to hear.
People are literally standing on the sidelines. Awesome atmosphere. Describe, like, just a day in the life of an athlete at Brockport, from waking up, you know, to going to class, practice, study hall, weightlifting, just a normal day during the season.
So during the season, we usually play like 2-3 games a week, especially like during conference time. So I'd say you probably wake up like 8-9 o'clock, go to class, 2-3 classes during the day, and then you got usually lift around like 3:30, and then we practice same time as the women. Like luckily we have like great facilities, so we can split time with the women in the front and the back gym. So we probably practice from like 4 to 6, lift from 3 to 4, dining hall with the team after that, and go back to your dorm or your off campus house or whatever. And then you can go back and shoot until like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. They have the gym open until, so we can just get in there, get shots up, do whatever we want to do in the gym. So I'd say, you know, normal, typical student athlete type of day, but it's a lot.
Yeah, and then you wake up, do it all over again.
Yeah, but it's definitely worth it. Like, looking back on it, like, I'd do it 1,000 times over.
100%. Now that, you know, you're at the end of your career, are you looking into getting into coaching and working with some of these younger kids? What are your goals now with all the experience that you have and knowledge from, you know, being a part of this whole journey, you know, at Brockport?
I think the coaching route is definitely something that I want to pursue. I've been lucky enough to, like, meet a lot of people over, like, especially since, like, I met you and like, from high school, too, since we had such a good program there. Like, I know a couple guys, like, at pretty high level, so hopefully, like, try and connect with them. And then, like, the success that I've had, like, at Brockport, hopefully that can help me, too. But, yeah, the coaching route is definitely coaching.
All right, there we go. So, shout out to any coaches out there need a coach. Peter Fargus is your guy, one of the hardest working guys in the building. Definitely deserves a chance. And I think, you know, you'd be a great coach. Some of the stuff you said today is great advice for, you know, for the younger kids. What advice would you give a high school kid looking to decide for a college? Like, what advice would you give somebody now who might be stressing out, they have multiple offers or maybe don't have any offers, and, you know, just the whole process of recruiting? How would you help a younger athlete today with that decision?
So I think, like, one thing that's definitely, like, different about me is, like, I like to, like, keep it real with people. Kind of, maybe it'll bite me in the butt or whatever, but, like, not everybody's going D1.
Right.
Like, and I think that's, like, a kind of a problem.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Everybody that I talk to, like, I talk to tons of high school kids, like, kids at my high school, kids at, like, local high schools, like, everybody thinks they're getting a scholarship, and that's just not the case. So I think you need to keep your options open and definitely, like, start to become a little bit self-aware, because, like, if you're not self-aware, you're not going to, like, be able to succeed. Like, you have to know your role. And I think talking to a lot of these kids, they don't know that yet. So they need to, like, keep their options open. But, like, there's definitely kids that are good enough to get a scholarship and all that other stuff. So if you know, like, if you've had, like, the right people tell you you're good enough to get a scholarship, I don't think, like, JUCO is a bad route. Like, I'm not hating on any of that, but I'm just saying, like, some kids, like, need to know how good they are.
Yeah.
And that Division III isn't a bad option, and NAIA isn't a bad option or whatever. But, like, you're blessed to, like, be able to continue after high school. Like, it's, like, I think the number is, like, 7% of student-athletes, like, continue into college. So I think keeping Division III as an option is always there, especially, like, with the year that we had. Like, we're a national level program now. Like, we were preseason top 10 in the country.
Right.
I think we were number 8 or whatever. And just if you watch one of our games, you'll be like, these kids are not Division III players.
Yeah.
Like, our whole starting five could probably get a scholarship somewhere. And I think kids need to, like, realize that and just know that Division III is, like, higher than what people, like,
yeah,
say
no,
it is.
100%. I mean, I played, you know, Brockport, and, you know, the level there, you know, we were one of the top 25 teams in the country every year. And, you know, like you said, I came from Long Island. I went there. I couldn't believe, you know, how talented the kids were at that next level. I always tell, you know, kids from here to go, you know, locally to, you know, CW Post or, you know, Malloy and just go watch a game and just see how good that talent is, you know, just to get an idea of, you know, how talented that next level is. And, you know, and then just be honest with yourself and if you could really play at that level.
Take your visits too.
Yeah.
Take your visits, play at open gyms, especially like in the spring, like when we have guys that have like take your visits and play with the team and like look at yourself in the mirror and be like, yeah, I could play here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the coaches want me, all that.
I think that's great stuff. I hope, you know, people take and listen and just enjoy the process of, you know, the whole recruiting, but keeping it real. Speaking about keeping it real, we're about to keep it 100. You ready to rock? We're going to go two different words. You just pick which one you like better.
All right. I'll try my best.
Let's see what we got. Sleds or resistance bands?
Oh, God. I hate both of them. probably sleds.
Beach or snow?
Oh, gosh. Snow means basketball season. Beach is nice. Probably beach.
There you go. Long distance or sprints?
Sprints.
TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram, not even close.
Squats or lunges?
Squats.
FaceTime or text?
Depends on the person. Probably probably text.
Spotify or Apple Music?
Apple Music.
AirPods or Beats?
AirPods.
Netflix or Hulu?
Oof. Hulu's got the childhood shows now, so I'm kind of leaning towards Hulu, but like I kind of ran out of stuff to watch on Hulu, so I'll go Netflix.
Jay-Z or J. Cole?
I'm going to take hate for this one, but I'm going to go J. Cole. I can't listen to Jay-Z like that.
What's your favorite late-night snack?
I don't know. I'm not a big Jimmy Z's guy.
There you go. That's shout out to Brockport. That's a spot late night.
I don't know, probably like a cinnamon raisin bagel or like a McFlurry. I don't know. We'll see. Depends on the day.
Depends on your mood.
Yeah, it depends on the day.
That's great stuff. I mean, great advice. Yeah, I wish you the best of luck. Hopefully you get a coaching job soon. Once you're done with college. Pete also does a lot of the edits that you guys see on the Instagram when the kids commit. So if you need stuff done, Pete's your guy. Wish you the best of luck, and you guys will see the picture of this ring once this podcast comes out. It's pretty cool, man.
Appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much. Good luck.
Appreciate it.